Welcome to the Real Estate Syndication Show. Whether you are a seasoned investor or building a new real estate business, this is the show for you. Whitney Sewell talks to top experts in the business. Our goal is to help you master real estate syndication. And now your host, Whitney Sewell.
This is your daily real estate syndication show. I'm your host, Whitney Sewell. Today, our guest is Vaughn Yepremian. Thanks for being on the show, Vaughn.
Thanks for having me, Whitney.
Vaughn is a business attorney, speaker, author, serial entrepreneur, and children's rights activist. His mission is to empower and support conscious entrepreneurs and ventures. He loves adventure travel. His last two were climbing Mount Kilimanjaro and living with the Bushmen of Hadza tribe in the wilderness for a week. I don't think I've had any guests on before that could say that, Vaughn. I'm looking forward to hearing a little about that on the show. I'm sure the listeners are as well. And maybe some things that you learned from that and how that's helped you, you know, since then. But give us a little more about who you are, where you're located, your focus, and let's jump in.
Excellent. Thanks for having me again. I am located in Los Angeles. I'm a serial entrepreneur, as you mentioned. I have several ventures, including a film production and distribution company, real estate development company. My main business and venture is my law firm, where I represent ventures and entrepreneurs from early startup to pre-IPO. I'm very passionate about entrepreneurship, especially given my background. I was born and grew up in former Soviet Union, a country where entrepreneurship was illegal. You basically get thrown in jail for being an entrepreneur or an entrepreneurial mindset. You know, it was encouraged to don't think outside the box, follow the herd, don't question authority. The whole country basically worked for the government. And I moved to the United States when I was 17 as a refugee. And a lot of those beliefs and mindsets were set in me growing up, you know, basically like North Korea on steroids. And I had to work on that, on my beliefs that I've formed from early childhood and the mindset. And I've discovered how what we believe in and how our mindset, what our mindset is, how that determines both our actions and our results and our emotions and everything else. And so as I start focusing on that and seeing how that changed what I do and how I achieve it. So I've had the firm for about 22 years. You know, I'm passionate about entrepreneurship, because I think most of the biggest problems in the world and challenges will be solved by entrepreneurs. It won't be the politicians. It won't be the governments. They're more vested in status quo and preserving what they have. I think it's a conscious entrepreneurs who are not only motivated by bottom line, but making a difference. They're innovative. They think outside the box. They're resourceful. Whether it's the environmental issues, whether it's certain health issues, I think I put my money on entrepreneurs. And so that's where I put my focus and attention is supporting and empowering them, whether it's through legal representation or business consulting or speaking and sharing whatever I've learned and my lessons, you know. And, you know, I don't come from a place where I've figured everything out and I have everything. We're all going through this, especially in these times, interesting times. We're all trying to figure out as we go. This is a new uncharted territory, you know, and we're dealing with, it's not just one crisis. You know, we've got the coronavirus pandemic and then the economic downturn that's already started and will surely follow and will take a while for us to recover from. And it's affecting probably, I would say, 90-95% of the businesses, whether it's directly or indirectly. And how do we do in this situation? Where, you know, what do we focus on? And where is our mindset? And so I really believe, besides legal education, I also have a business degree. And going to business school, you know, they teach you a lot about all the external stuff, you know, how to put together a business plan, how to raise funds, how to do PR or branding or scaling. They don't really focus on the entrepreneur, the person who's actually doing all these things and making all these decisions. And your awareness, your emotional intelligence, your belief system, all of that affects how you show up in your business, in front of your customers, in front of your team, especially in situations like this, where as a chief emotional officer, you have to be strong. You have to be there, you know, as an opportunity to show up and support not only your customers, but also your staff, you know, your team, your army. And so, yeah, I'm excited to share and some stories and some experiences. We're all in it together, and we're all trying to figure it out together. And so if some stuff I say resonates and helps some people as they go through these challenges.
Well, no doubt. I have no doubt that it will, Vaughn. And, you know, you were talking about how you would bet on entrepreneurs, you know, to figure these problems out and to make these things happen. And I just think about how entrepreneurs are entrepreneurs usually because they can fix problems and they don't always see it maybe as a problem like a lot of people would. You know, they see things totally differently. And I know me personally and so many people that I've met, it, you know, what you believe, how you see things, like you talked about, it affects how you show up. Right. And it doesn't matter if you're showing up, you know, as that CEO or whether you're showing up and you're the only employee. Right. You know, it makes a big difference. And what you know, between your ears, how you show up and what you know, how you see things. And I think a lot of times that's where it starts at. I know it did with me, you know, with my mindset, you know, before I really started seeing more success in business. But, you know, why don't we back up a little bit and, you know, you are big on just bringing personal growth and improvement to entrepreneurs. And you know, why don't we just cover a little bit about how you've done that? What's been some of the biggest things in your entrepreneurial journey that's helped you experience the most growth to show up the best way?
So several years ago, as I mentioned, I had my law firm for about 22 years. And year after year, we've experienced some growth, you know, some years bigger than some years smaller, but we've continued to grow. Last maybe 3 or 4 years before the lockdown, we've experienced a considerable growth. But having nothing changed in the business except me and except my limiting beliefs and my, you know, certain things that have to do with me. And I believe that your business is a reflection of yourself, of the entrepreneur. Whatever beliefs you have, limitations you have, that will be reflected in the business. And so as you lift and you work on yourself, that's going to be reflected in the business. And you cannot help it. It's just that, like looking in a mirror. And similarly, if you know, sometimes there's a problem in a business that is just has to do with the business. It might be supply chain. It might be changing market disruptions or something. But very often it also is the person. And trying to fix the business without fixing the person doesn't work. It's kind of like trying to fix a reflection in a mirror without changing the actual, you know, the source of the reflection. And so as I start really diving into personal growth and really looking at some of the beliefs I held and diving into mindset and, you know, how do we interpret things and the words we use and thoughts we entertain in our head, you know, we all have these little negative self-talks and stuff, and, you know, we need to be aware of that. And so as you start paying more attention to that, your realm of possibilities expand. You know, getting rid of limiting beliefs doesn't necessarily make you an exceptional entrepreneur, but it'll give you a better chance of becoming one because you're not limiting yourself. You know, you don't have that luggage that you're carrying yourself, whether it's fear of failure, which paralyzes you, whether it's lack of trust in others, which results in you not delegating enough, and then that results in not being able to scale your business. Things where you've beliefs we entertain where, you know, making money is not easy. You have to struggle and you have sacrifice. And so if you believe that the only way for you to make money is that you have to suffer, struggle, and sacrifice, you will find a way to do those three things so you can make money. Okay? And I've seen it in my clients because as I start seeing my businesses change and really take off, I start applying this with my business clients. And I had a client who had one of these beliefs that money doesn't grow on trees and there is no free lunch and all this stuff. And he had this amazing intellectual property that he had invested time and energy in developing, and he was running his own business for over 10 years. A group approached him to license the IP and take it overseas. And his reaction was, "What do you mean? They're just going to write a check and just give it to me? That just doesn't, people don't just give you money. There's no free lunch." And I'm trying to explain to him, this is not free lunch. This is your tears and sweat and blood and sacrifice for 10 years.
This is the payoff. This.
Yes, this is the end. You know, they're the ones who are getting something for nothing, for free. Not free, but, you know, the easier way of just writing a check. They don't have to put in the 10 years of what you've done. Anyways, it was a struggle going back and forth because for him, in his realm of possibilities based on his beliefs, that was not something that happened. And we almost lost the investors because the people who wanted to license the IP, and they wouldn't understand the issues. Like, what's going on? Is it you need more money? Like, we're working on it. And eventually at the end, what I did is I asked the guys to give us the actual check that he would be cashing in, because there's an upfront payment for licensing and then ongoing monthly payments moving forward. And it was a pretty nice chunk of change upfront. And I had to sign something that we will not deposit it or cash it until all the documents are signed. So I take the check and I pass it on to the client. It was Friday afternoon. He comes to my office and I said, look, keep it, hold on to it until Monday. Bring it back if you don't want to do the deal, or come back and sign the paperwork and take the check and deposit. He's like, just keep it. Let's talk over the, I'll go, no, take the check with you. I wanted him to sit with his check and really process it. Say, you know, this could be his, you know. He calls me Saturday. He goes, are you working tomorrow? I go, no, tomorrow's Sunday. And he goes, okay, let's, I'll be there first thing Monday morning. I want to do this. He signed the deal. He got the money 2.5, I want to say this is 3 years ago. He's in about 4 or 5 countries now, in dozen cities. He makes more money from the licensing deals than from his business. He has more free time. He had some health issues because he was just working so hard in his business, because one of his beliefs was you have to sacrifice, and he hadn't taken vacations for years. Now he's considering selling that business because he just doesn't, you know, the ROI doesn't make sense anymore because he's making so much money from the licensing. And you look at that and someone's reality completely changing just based on changing a certain belief or set of beliefs. And this is what your mindset and your beliefs can do, keep you holding on to certain things that don't serve you and or adopt. What I've learned is, you know, we get to choose the meaning of things that happen around us. And it's a very empowering thought. You have a choice of, you could be a victim, especially in this crisis. It's very easy to sit there, especially since everyone's going through this, and say, poor me, I've built this business. Now, just with through no fault of my own, it's shut down and I don't know what's going to happen. You know, my life's ruined, my credit's ruined, my business is ruined, everything's ruined, poor me. Or you can look at it as, what are the opportunities out there? Yes, this is going to be tough. And I'm not underplaying the difficulty that everyone's going through. Whether you own a business or whether you work for a business as an employee, this is tough times. But we also have to keep in mind that more than half, I think about 65% of Fortune 500 businesses were created during depression or recession. Disney, Chevron, IBM, FedEx, Whole Foods, Apple, Microsoft, they were all created during those times. Let's look at just the last recession, that it's still so fresh and so traumatic in a lot of people's minds. And it was very difficult times. And I'm going to go through the list of companies that were created during this crisis, just to appreciate the level of opportunities that present to us in these challenging times. WhatsApp, in 2009, it was sold to Facebook in 2014 for $19 billion. Venmo was created in 2009, sold in 2013 for $26 million. Groupon, created in 2008. Instagram, 2010. Facebook purchased it for $1 billion. Uber, valued at $47 billion. Pinterest, Slack, Square. I mean, list goes on. And this is creating times where people are panicking, stressing, crying, and sitting in anxiety, paralyzed. So we have a choice. What does this mean? Is this, you know, there's a Chinese, they say there's two characters in Chinese that symbolize this crisis. One is opportunity and one is disaster or crisis. And so we get to choose which one we focus on and where our energy goes. We do have to acknowledge this is serious. We have to acknowledge both the health risks and financial strains on the economy. And, you know, as we were chatting earlier, I think there's a huge problem that's going to be coming up as the economy goes down and the downturn of the economy. It's going to create a lot of people in extreme poverty. It's going to add to that in, you know, over 100 million people are going to join that list. It's going to result in people dying from hunger a lot in astronomic numbers. So it's a serious situation. And sitting in fear, being paralyzed, will not solve or help that. And so wherever your focus is, wherever your energy is you find what you're looking for. Yeah. If you're looking for bad news, you're looking for something that's going to put keep you down and keep you feeling sorry for yourself. You will find that there's plenty of it. You know, turn on the news, scroll through Facebook or whatever. You know, there's bad news after bad news. Or you can focus on the positive things, how people are reaching out and doing good things, you know, helping others, singing through their balconies, whether it's in Italy or New York, or getting together and spending time together. You know, we put ourselves, you mentioned that I travel a lot and I love adventure travel. So, you know, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro or, you know, being out in the wilderness in Africa. I put myself in those challenging situations because it helps me learn about myself. Helps me learn about how I am, how my mindset is, how I deal with challenges, how can I push, you know, climbing up Mount Kilimanjaro, you know, you have 50% less oxygen. It's freezing, you know, the water in your backpack is frozen. The high altitude, you know, your heart's pounding, your nose and ears are bleeding. You don't want to take another step. And it's all mental now. You know, at that point, it's just one more step. And so you learn, and you learn how far you can push yourself, and you learn how stronger you are than you think. And so I create these artificial scenarios where I push myself to learn what I'm made of and how far I can push myself. Here's an opportunity where the world, the universe has put us in this challenging situation without us planning it or paying for it. Well, actually we're paying for it, but you know, what an opportunity to learn about ourselves and how we react, learn about our team, learn about our business and thinking about what is my business going to look like coming out of this? And will it be destroyed or will it be stronger and maybe leaner? We talk about essentials. I've now, we've cut a lot of fat out, right? Maybe we don't need this. Maybe we don't need this. You know, my priority is my team, right? So if I can keep my team and I could still provide some value to my clients, that's my focus, right? And so as we go back to hopefully new normal, not the old normal, my question is going to be how much of that fat that I cut I want to bring back and how much of it I want to leave it behind and be a little more essential, you know, focusing on more essentials. And so what an opportunity and like a case study for us to experiment and do we need so many of this or do we need that? Or can we live with, you know, we're learning that we don't need as much as we think we need. And this is something I learned from the Hadza tribe. You're out there and, you know, you're, concern is water, food, and safety.
Survival.
Survival, right? And you're very much in present. And, you know, I was there for 7 days and we didn't take any food out from outside, any shelter or any weapons or anything. And so we basically went there to live like they do with them as part of their tribe and basically survive and learn from them. And you quickly forget all the necessities that, you know, you have back home that you feel like you can't live without. And all of a sudden, all of that is irrelevant, you know? And another interesting lesson from there was before I got there, my biggest question was, how am I going to go through 7 days without taking a shower? So that was my big problem in my head. So I get there and then the first night we go to sleep and they don't have any shelter. And they're nomads. They move around. And so they make fire and they sleep around the fire. And you're in the wilderness. So they have leopards and lions and tigers and snakes and whatever. Hyenas laughing. You can hear at night. And there's two of them from the tribe stay up at night with their bows and arrows, guarding the fire and guarding you. And so all of a sudden, the shower becomes less of a problem. Making through the night, it becomes a priority, right? And I'm thinking, how am I going to sleep for the next 7 days? Am I going to wake up? You know, and then as we start going hunting and I realize that things that they're killing and eating, I'm not going to eat. And I'm not going to partake in some of the stuff, you know, from bush babies to baboons to different, you know, things that, you know, I'm now thinking, okay, food's becoming kind of an important thing now. I actually ended up not eating for 6 days. So all of a sudden, the shower is not a problem.
At least of your concerns.
At least of my concerns. Yeah. Sleeping, I get some sleep, not the food. You know. And then you go on these hunting trips with them that are between 15 to 20 miles a day into the, you know, in the African heat, up and down, and the bushes that are thorns and they stick into your skin and pull. I was all scratched up by the time I got back. And there's only so much water you can take with you because they move really fast and you have to move with them. And so within an hour, you run out of water. And then you still have 4 or 5 hours of hiking up and down and you're sweating. and you parch, you know, they'll stop by and drink from, you know, little things here and there. And I can't drink that because I'm not used to that. I'll, you know, and all of a sudden the water becomes like, forget the food, forget the sleep, forget the shower. If I could just have a little bit of water, I'll be fine for the next week. And just taught me how grateful we should be for whatever problems we have today, because they always could be worse. They could be, and actually,
but those people of that tribe probably didn't see it as that bad, though. You know, like they didn't see it as a horrible day. You know, before we were recording, I wanted you to highlight on this, like they always have fun. They're always happy. And, you know, and to most of us, if we were in that predicament, I mean, we wouldn't survive very long if we weren't amongst other people like that who, you know, are used to it.
Exactly. Exactly. And what really carried me through those days was, for them, this is just regular life, right? And this is just another day just going out and doing what they do. Obviously, they're used to it and they've been doing it for generations. They live, the Hadzabi tribe lives like they used to live thousands of years ago. They make fire with sticks. They speak in clicks. So their life has not changed for several thousands of years. And so this is, they're used to it and they're built for it and they know what to do and how to survive. We don't. But what really helped me get through those is just being around their energy and being around the joy that is kind of an overarching theme of everything they do. We schedule fun and joyful time in between our work and errands to run and do this. And then, oh, I'm going to have fun here and I'm going to go out and have fun, or I'm going to stay in and connect with family. Connection and fun and joy is not something they kind of schedule in between hunting and between, you know, making fire. It's they have fun and connect while they're doing this stuff. And just being around that, and it was such a lesson of why don't we have that? Why don't we bring in more joy and fun in everything we do? You know, kids running around and playing with things like rocks, like they're like the latest toy. Right? And they can play for hours with this rock they found because it's got a little shine on it and have so much fun. So one of the lessons I brought in is to just to bring in more joy and fun in everything we do, not say, okay, I got to do this and then I'm going to go have fun. No, you know, as before the travel ban or restrictions, sometimes you get asked, what are you traveling for? Is it business or pleasure? It seems like we're distinctly separating those two. You know, and as an entrepreneur, your business should be a pleasure. Mm-hmm. And pleasure should be business, it should be approached as business as well, where you intentionally plan and say, look, I'm going to have fun, whether it's with your team, whether it's with your clients, whether it's your brand, being a little playful, being a little, you know, especially in these difficult times, we all can use a little bit of that. So, yeah, I mean, so many lessons there.
You know, earlier in the conversation, you talked about, you highlighted, and I made some notes of this because I thought it was a great quote, but you know, you said, trying to fix the business without fixing the person doesn't work. And then you also mentioned that, like, your business, you experienced a lot of growth recently, and you were the one that had to change. And so, you know, now that we've talked about, like, and, you know, numerous experiences now that you've had, and especially being with that tribe and different places you've been, you know, what was it in you specifically that had to change for this growth, this most recent growth that you've experienced in your business?
One, I think, was radical responsibility, knowing that everything that happens to you, to your business, it's, as an owner of the business, it's my responsibility. Not pointing fingers, not being a victim of, oh, it's the market, it's the things are changing, it's the new times, it's this person, it's this employee, or it's this competitor. No, it's you taking responsibility, and not in a way where you're blaming yourself, but it's just the first step of empowering yourself, of saying, look, this is my business, I get to decide what the circumstances mean and where the opportunities are. And so your business is not doing good. It's not trying to look for somebody to blame, but say, hey, how can we fix it? And is that have anything to do with me or how I show up in the business or how I think or how I hold myself back or hold my team back, right? And so I think taking responsibility for your business and not having that kind of victim mentality of, oh, you know, it's the business is not the same as it used to be. you know, things are changing. Things are different now. Millennials or the economy or the technology is changing. Yeah, it is. And it's disrupting stuff. But, you know, for example, distribution company, that film distribution company that we have. Back in the day, for me to distribute a film, it would have to be the, you know, the roll of film that cost $25,000 each. That, so for me to do a theatrical release across, you know, 100 theaters would be prohibitively expensive for me. Nowadays, because of the technology, it's a Blu-ray DVD that costs me a couple of dollars. Like within $5 to $10 shipping, I don't even want it back. The theaters just break, you know, just destroy it. And all of a sudden, I'm a player in the game where 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been, or 15 years. And so as much as technology is disrupting things, it's also creating opportunities. So I think taking also charge of where is your focus? What are you looking at? Are you looking at the problem or are you looking at the solution? Are you looking at the opportunity or are you looking what's wrong?
Was there something that you were studying or something that happened or anything that kind of helped you through that, helped you to change your focus or take that responsibility like you're talking about?
Yes. I was married and I have an 8-year-old beautiful daughter and nice house and businesses and everything else. And at some point my ex-wife and I decided to separate, amicable separation, and we're friends and everything's fine. But I saw my world change very quickly from having kind of that picturesque life to where now I find myself as, you know, as a single dad, sold the house, and things started changing. And so I wanted to look at myself and see, is it something that I'm causing? Again, responsibility. What am I responsible for? Why is this happening? And what did I do? And so learning about myself. And initially, the goal wasn't business-oriented, where I need to grow my business, so I'm going to do some personal growth. It was just, I really need to understand who I am, what my values are, what success means to me. You know, I found myself at a place at some point where, you know, on paper, everything's great and I'm successful, but I didn't feel successful and kept chasing certain recognition, certain things, and but didn't get to a place where I feel I'm successful. And so I had to sit down, and this was part of the process of why don't I feel successful and examining what does success mean to me. And I realized that what I had taken as success was a borrowed definition of success from culture, from movies, from books, from society, from whatever, right? And so that wasn't my definition. It was borrowed, and I was trying to chase that. And because it was not aligned with my values, I wasn't feeling it. And so I sat down and started writing, making a list of things that make me feel successful. Spending time with my daughter, quality time with my daughter makes me successful. You know, adventure, travel, and doing photography and doing some art stuff makes me feel successful. Charity makes me feel successful. You know, taking my mom on nice trips makes me successful. Speaking and sharing and teaching makes me feel. So I realized that I was on a wrong, again, I need the business for me to be able to do these things. But now the picture changes. I need to restructure it in a way where I have some time that I can spend traveling or spend time with my daughter or spend time traveling with my daughter or, you know, doing things that I want to do that make me feel successful. And so then I start restructuring the business in a way where it could operate without me. Some people want to be in there, and that's where they get their definition. So I'm not saying my definition is, it's just my definition, right? So everybody gets to decide, as long as it's not borrowed, as long as it's yours, and as long as you've put some thought into it of what does it mean to me? And things changed. And all of a sudden, you know, you are realizing that you can have both. The mentality was, okay, I need to do this so I can do that. No, you could, I don't like the word balancing, but you have those two roles coexist at the same time, you know? And so redefining what success meant to me, and not just in business, you know, and even in business, what does success of your venture means to you? Is it just profits? Is it
kind of your why, right?
Your why,
exactly. Your mission behind what you're doing. And if it's always a shiny object, there's always one shinier, right?
And that was one of the, you set a goal, and I have clients who cash out and exit. And this is something they've worked for years, and they're like, that's it. I'm off to the beach somewhere, drink pina coladas and watch sunsets. And within a couple of months, they call, say, I need to get into something else. This is not working for me. I'm bored. And so why are you doing it? And it has to be bigger. Goals are moving targets. It's interesting. When I was climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, you know, the goal was get to the top. And so it took us about 5.5 days to get to the top. And it was the journey and the lessons. And I'm actually writing my second book is going to be about the journey and the lessons learned from it. And one of the lessons is, you know, you get to the top, you know, and this is your focus and your goal. I need to get to the top. As soon as you're on the top, you know, after taking a couple of pictures and you're there not more than 20 minutes because it's cold and the pressure and the lack of oxygen, you just want to take a couple of selfies and just acknowledge that you've made it and then get your butt down. When I'm there and a good friend of mine climbed with me, we looked at each other and said, okay, what's next? And then we decided it's Fuji Mountain, right, in Japan. And then, you know, and I realized all of a sudden my goal just moved. I just reached it 2 minutes ago. It took me, you know, weeks of planning and 5.5 days of pain and suffering. And right when I got there, even before I had time to enjoy it, really take it in, all of a sudden that target had moved. And now I have another goal. And so
Is that mountain a lot bigger?
It's not. So Kilimanjaro is the highest freestanding mountain in the world. Fuji Mountain is the highest mountain in Japan. It's not higher. It's different. You know? Okay. And so for me, it was interesting because I realized that, as we say, and it sounds cliche, but it's about the journey. It's about those 5.5 days of what I've learned about myself, about my friendship and looking at life and looking at what drives me. And it's not about just reaching the top. You know, even if I didn't reach the top, I would have all those lessons. And even when I reached the top, it was like, yay, we're here. What's next? And so do not postpone one, both celebrating your small little feats and achievements, but also get what you need to get in this process, in the journey, rather than when I get there. When I get there, I'll be happy. When I get there, I'll relax. When I get there, I'll do the charity that I want to do. Do it now. Do it now in little steps, you know, little things. Little things add up, you know, and as they say, you know, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And so as you do these little things, do it as if they're big things and they'll add up. And it's good to set goals. For me, I found more valuable is raising your standards, not raising your goals or bigger goals. Because if you raise your standards, your goals will raise naturally. And so looking at not, I want to make that much money, I want to make that much money. Like, what kind of a person am I? And what kind of stuff that person does out there, right? Mm. And so
that's a great segue into, you know, like one of our last questions I always like to ask the guests on the show is, you know, how you like to give back. And I know you're really big on giving back and in different ways. But what's one way that you give back that you'd like to share, Vaughn?
Again, since we're talking about entrepreneurs and businesses, I very much encourage businesses to put charity as part of their vision and mission of their business. It used to be where, you know, you go off and build a great business and make a lot of money. And then you take some of that money and you give it to charity and you start a nonprofit or whatever. Times have changed. And now if, as you're starting your business, if charity or giving back or contributing is not part of that business as a foundation, it's forget about doing the right thing. It's bad business. It's bad business because people care how you do your business. Customers care and look at you and say, who is this person? And what values do they have? And forget the customers, your team. You know, one of the things we have is we, as a firm, as a company, we sponsor kids. And we have a bunch of kids that we've been sponsoring. We add every quarter, we add a new child from different, you know, we have my team, I think we have about, they're from like 12 or 14 different countries or nationalities in my firm. And so they all choose kids from different places they're from and they pen pal and we pay for it. So we'll pay for it. But they feel like they're part of this effort and it gives them more purpose as they show up to work. It's something, it becomes something bigger. And so it helps build team building and loyalty and it's just the right thing to do. So what I would say is choose a charity that you care for, you know, something that really makes you get excited when you do stuff. And it doesn't matter if it's $5 or $500 or $5,000, just make it a habit of giving a little bit back. You will be surprised how far a little bit will take somebody, even if it doesn't change their economic state, just knowing that somebody cares, somebody that they don't know cares and has written a letter or send them a package or send them some money for food or whatever. It could change their life because you don't know what they're going through at that moment, what they're considering, what kind of things they're thinking, you know, from suicide to taking their drastic action and everything else. And one, we talk about charity as something where it's this third world country, you help people out there. Charity could be somebody you know, your neighbor or somebody, you know, family, a friend that's going through difficult times. And it doesn't have to be just financial. It's
listening. It could just be time, right?
Just time, right? And so one of the things, and you were asking just to kind of circle back, one of the things that really changed my business was when I changed the questions I was asking. So as a refugee and as an immigrant to this country, and I love this country and it's given me so much and I'm so fortunate and grateful to be here. As I came in, you know, the American dream, my natural approach was what opportunities can I take advantage of? What can I get? What can I take from all these opportunities? When I changed that to what value can I provide and what do I bring to the table rather than what can I take from, it changes your approach to business and mentality. And all of a sudden, instead of thinking, what can I take from this person or this client or this customer or this market or this business or this country? It's what value do I have to offer? Because the money will be, if you provide something of value, the money you'll get paid for it sooner or later, and you'll get in proportion to the value you provide, right? And so if you focus on that rather than how much can I charge and what can I get, is what value do I have that I can deliver and provide? It will change your business just in that kind of mentality and mindset of what does this person need and how can I be valuable to them? And so that will help your business. And if you can expand that into your surroundings, whether it's your immediate surroundings or extended surroundings, you know, the tribe we're talking about, how's the tribe? They refer to their tribe and they're not all related, obviously, but they refer to themselves as family and they act like it. The kids, for 7 days, I could not tell whose kid is, whose parent is and whose kid is whose, because everyone was helping everyone and kids were going to all these adults and playing with them and sitting on their laps and playing with their little jewelries and all that stuff. And that kind of mentality that I think, especially in these times, we need to adopt, and we're all in this together. And it's an opportunity to kind of just take a look at ourselves and kind of from going bigger units to kind of just isolating is just about me and just my immediate family to this, we're all in it together, and how something that originated in China can affect all the families all around the world. And
I think it would help all of us if we go spend a week with the Bushmen of Hadza, you know?
I think so.
It would change our perspective about lots of things, no doubt about it. Vaughn, you know, I'm grateful for your time, grateful for you just sharing and just love, you know, talking about just entrepreneur, you know, mindset and things like that, because it's so important. And, you know, when I started changing my mindset is when, like I said, my business started to take different levels, you know, and just understanding the importance of that, where my focus is, and something I talk to my 5 and 7 year old about, or try to, you know, just thinking through those things. What are we focused on? But Vaughn, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about you?
I am on Instagram, Vaughn Upramian, but my website is vylawfirm.com. I have a book coming out that I co-wrote with Shelley Lefko of Lefko Institute called Self-Made, The Surprising Solution to Success When You Have Tried Everything. And we talk about basically limiting beliefs and mindset and entrepreneurship, basically bringing those two worlds together. Should be out in a couple of months. And I'm happy to share and contribute in any way I can.
Don't go yet. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I would love it if you would go to iTunes right now and leave a rating and written review. I want to hear your feedback. It makes a big difference in getting the podcast out there. You can also go to the Real Estate Syndication Show on Facebook so you can connect with me and we can also receive feedback and your questions there that you want me to answer on the show. Subscribe too so you can get the latest episodes. Lastly, I want to keep you updated. So head over to lifebridgecapital.com and sign up for the newsletter. If you're interested in partnering with me, sign up on the Contact Us page so you can talk to me directly. Have a blessed day, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Syndication Show, brought to you by LifeBridge Capital. LifeBridge Capital works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate, while also donating 50% of its profits to assist parents who are committing to adoption. LifeBridge Capital, making a difference, one investor and one child at a time. Connect online at www.lifebridgecapital.com for free material and videos to further your success.